He said, and blessed be you, which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself by my own hand. See, Yah did not want David to do it on his own. Yahweh was with David. He said, everything that you, that happens to you, will know it's me. I don't want you to do something out of turn. David was guarding that. This is what he said. Look what he says in verse 34. He says, for in very deed, as Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of Israel, live, which have kept me back from hurting you. He said, because there was a jewel there, and I would have destroyed everything. Listen what he says now. Except had you hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been, listen what he said, there had been not left to Nabal. Do you hear that? By the morning light, in it that piss against the wall. And a woman can't piss against the wall. He said, if a man, I was going to destroy him. He meant what he said. A man pisses against the wall. He said, there would not have been one man left. I would have destroyed every last one of them. I was coming to get my vengeance. And because of this Ruah of Yah in this daughter of Zion, see one every now and then, a wayfaring one. And because of your advice, oh, there will be wayfaring men. There have been those that come through here and they have spoken beautiful advice to me. Their words were beautiful. Their words of strength were very charming. Their words of support. But when these vile ones come in here and think they're going to change the order of something here, they are fools from hell. They will not do it. Period. I won't do it. Nor will I let you do it. Because of your emotions, your sons, your daughters, they're full of hell. They're wicked. He said, it would not have been one man left. And peradventure, if I came in there, Abigail, you there may have did you harm. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. Why? Because, let me show you something here. Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he had feasted in his house like the feast of a king. And would not give David a piece of bread. And Nabal Lev was merry with him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning. She didn't say anything to him because she knew he was a fool. And it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone from Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his Lev died. Now there are men that their hearts are dead today, brothers and sisters. His Lev died within him, and he became as stone. I've watched men that say they love, and I've watched the whole character, their countenance change to a stony one. Because they're of the spirit of Nabal. And they're merry for the moment they're merry, when they're drinking their wine of their own accolades of what they're doing or what they can offer. Oh, those are wines, all right. They deceive you. They make you think that you're something you really are not. Amen. Hallelujah. And what Yahweh tells them, the actuality, then their hearts become stony, cold, because they're full of iniquity. Because iniquity shall abide, the love of many shall wax cold. Their hearts become cold. They begin to withdraw themselves. Now that is part of their mantra. That is part of their doctrine. Withdrawing yourself. That is of hell. It's not of Yahweh. Yahweh said, I'm going to do this, and you're going to know I'm with you, David. And so you better obey what I say. That's why Yahweh did everything, all right? Because he wanted him to know that I'm with you. And you're not going to have any kind of excuse. I'll charge you this day. You better hear me. You better know that I'm speaking unto you. And you better hear me. Well, when it came to morning, when she told him, his heart became as stone, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after. And so, about 10 days after, that Yahweh smote Nabal. He killed him. He smote him. Now I want you all to wake up in here. Open your eyes. He smote Nabal that he died. Is that what scripture says?
Yes.
Did he die?
Yes.
And he died. Did David destroy him? Yahweh destroyed him. Because Yahweh wanted David to know that my hand is resting upon you.
Hallelujah.
And he destroyed him. And there are those that Yahweh destroyed them. He destroyed their relationships, and they have no relationships. Even in the natural sense, I'm telling you, the Nabals are fools. They're full of folly. They speak with folly. They speak with ignorance. They speak with this dumbfoundness. I will not allow that spirit to come in here by any man, any woman. You all hear me? You all better throw to Yah for that. Hallelujah. You better throw to Yah for a warrior and a king and a ruler. I'm not a king, but a man that rules. And the scripture says, an elder's word that's double honor that rules well. The double honor that rules. They especially feed you in doctrine and understanding. This is understanding here. I feed you the truth of Yah. He is not worthy of any kind of accolades that he is some kind of great man, but you honor the things that he speaks unto you. I'm an elderly man among him, not only an elderly man, but I'm an elderly man in age. And I'm not going to be offended to tell or to speak to Brother Chris' wife or speak to Brother Dale's wife, tell them these things must be done, or to speak to my wife or to speak to your wife. I'm not going to be offended at that. I'm not going to hold back on that. I'm an older man. I'm an older brother. I'm not going to withhold that. I've been before this house not as some charlatan, some howling, a steward. And I'm not going to let you all take that away. My crown that Yah has given unto me, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm not going to let anybody do that. I'm not going to let you take away the streak that he has imparted. I'm not going to let some stranger that is a deserter that has no streak at all. When a man has streak, you will see it in his life. Come on, you man, you'll see it in your family life. Your daddies, your husbands, you see it in your wife. Hallelujah. You will see that. Don't come to me when you are weak and your wife weak and you're going to try to tell me. Don't come to me when your wife has no footing on the word of Yah and you think you have one. Because if you have one, then you will impart it to her what you have. The body has what the head has. The head eats right, the body will look right. So don't give me that. You're not coming to me this way. You're not going to come to me eating your swine's meat. As usual, they hide behind the little secret places and they eat their pig feet. Eat your swine food that's coming from you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I won't back down, Sister Horn. It's going to take this to take his own over. We got one more charge left. We got one more ticket, Horn. We must finish the charge. Yes, we must. We must, brothers. One more battle ahead. Just one more. And so you must be prepped and ready to go. You must be. You must have the garment on. You must be prepared for battle. And you don't want a cowardice leader who will not prove himself. You don't want a leader like that. Hallelujah. You don't want someone taking you to battle that's a coward. Hallelujah. You want someone to take you to battle that is hardened, knows what the trenches are, willing to go in the trenches, willing to accept the abuse and the words of assault against him, and it doesn't alter him at all. That's what you want. You don't want someone that is, in the time of adversity, their strength failed them because they have no strength. Little is their strength. You want someone that is strong. Or you're boasting, preaching, no, I'm talking to me. I saw what he did with David. I come to you in the name of Yahweh. In the hope of Yahshua. I don't come to you in David Roberts' name. I don't come to you in David's name, Dawid's name. I come to you in his name. Hallelujah. My ways have always been justified or made Sadiqah by HaMashiach. David did not justify my ways. Yahshua did. Hallelujah. Yah shows us, I don't care what you give a man, what he does to a man, when he begins to walk in his own arrogance, he will deny and denounce Almighty Yah. He will say, to hell with Yahweh. I have no strength to walk in. The mercies of Yah are renewed every day and it fortifies me to rely upon what he says. I have no brevity of my own. I have no character that I can resort to, no intellectual properties that I can rely on. I rely upon the might of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it's one thing that the Ruach does, it did not come and speak against what the Word has already established. And no man says he has the Spirit of Yah, is going to come to me and speak against what Yah has established. I will not let no man do that. I will let no Jezebel woman do that. A Jezebel prostitute. I won't do that. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid to say it either. Hallelujah. That's all right. Yahweh killed Nabal. He destroyed him. These men that are dying today because they rejected Yah's truth, he's killing them. He's destroying them. Sure he is. They're dying spiritually. You see it in their countenance, their eyes, their presence. They don't know scripture. They think they do. They don't. Too much time talking. You can't study. Husband and wife, too much time talking about this one or that one. You ought to be in scripture. Hallelujah. You hypocrites, don't think you could get anything by Yah. And I don't speak because of what I hear. I speak because of what he puts in me to speak. Hallelujah. And so Shaul, like we all do, we look for some way of deception. So he goes to the witch of Endor. Now we know what Shaul says to Galusia. O foolish Galusia, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So men look today for spirits that will give them strength not to obey the truth. And they obey their own wicked ways. And that's what Shaul did. Scripture says in the 28th chapter, verse 16, when he went unto the witch of Endor to inquire Shamuel, even the spirit of this man spoke to this man. And Shamuel, wherefore, when Shamuel came, when the spirit of Shamuel spoke, he said, wherefore did you, he said, wherefore then do you ask me? Why? Seeing Yahweh is departed from you. He departed from the man. Is that what it says? He departed from you and is become your friend. See, people don't think that Yahweh will become their enemies. I would ask you a question again. We go back to 1 Samuel 51. Did he anoint this man as king? Did he have the navi to pour the oil of strength upon him? Did he become the man's enemy? Was he the man's friend? He had turned against the man. That's why Yahshua said, you are my friend if you do what I command you. You are not a friend of Yahweh if you don't do what Yahshua commands us. You are not the friend of Yah. And Yahweh set in order in his house, he set Shulishims, Nabis, proclaimers, and pastors, and teachers, Bozorah, to tell us and to teach unto us. That's what he does. Not these charlatan men that even their homes do not have the strength of Yah. They don't have praying wives and children that submit to Yah. They don't have wives that have a spirit to bow down unto Yah. How are you going to tell? How are you going to instruct a man in order to be instructed? His own house must be in order. He must have his house in order. Well, Sister Robert said, not in order. I tell you what, I'd rather see be in that order to be in the order you're in. Hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. You see, if she was out of order, then you would be out of order with me. And I will not allow you to do that. There are some of your daughters that have talked to me in your corrupt ways. But it's in your own demise and your own destruction. It is one thing that I've taught all these years I've been preaching, even in the name of Jesus. It is one thing that I've told us all the time. The Shaitan always knows when he has a seed there. And he always makes sure that he cultivates it and keep it cultivated. And he will bring you to an experience again. And he will go before Yah and say, let me try Deacon Horn. And see if that root of that thing is still in him. The root of your own bitterness. The root of your own lies. And the root of your own corruption. And he says it's there. And Yahweh says, I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to put my man before them. I'm going to set Deacon Ben before them. And he's going to show them mercy. And he's going to show them truth in the word of Yah. It's the truth of Yah. And he said, by the mercy and truth, then that iniquitous way is purged from them. And yet they hold fast to their own iniquitous way. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I can say to this man right here, with total honesty, his wife has never responded to me in any kind of way of dishonor, disrespect. But there are others that have. She has never. Yes, she's much talked about among the brothers. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't get fat head, sister. Hallelujah. Be lifted up. There are others. Because there's a seed of wickedness there. And it's just the right situation. They will rise up again. Believe me. Believe me. They will. I've seen it with men. I've seen it with women. Hallelujah. Oh, Yah's coming to purge his house. You otherwise told us that judgment began where? At the house of Yah? Not this building right here. No, not this here. Is Ruah dwell right here? Hallelujah. It begins here. He brings judgment. Why? Because he corrects you with judgment. Let me move on because I want to finish. He says, you are the enemy of Yahweh, verse 17, and Yahweh has done to him as he spoke by me. The prophet said what he said he would do, he did it. I spoke it. For Yahweh has rent the kingdom out of your hand and has given it unto your neighbor. It is not your kingdom. Now look at what he said. Was Saul David's neighbor? Did he know him? Were they not of the same brotherhood? Of the same house? So everybody is not your neighbor. He says, give it unto your neighbor, even to Dawid. And he says in verse 18, you better hear it, because you obey not the voice of Yah, nor executed his fierce anger against Melech. He says, therefore, Yahweh done this thing to you this day because you're rebellious. you did not obey Yah, He has ripped the kingdom from you. Hallelujah. He has ripped the kingdom from you. And the minute that He has ripped His kingdom from, they have not the kingdom government of Yah in them. That's the government of their own corrupt will and their own flesh. It's not the government of Almighty Yahweh. It's not the power of His rule in them. It's their own corruption, their own flesh, their own vile will, and their own seducive and seductive ways that lead them. So the kingdom is taken from you because you will not obey My voice. Because you will not obey Him. We better hear Yisrael what Yah says. You better obey. For obedience is less. You know, Elder Martin always quote that scripture. He may quote it in his broken way of grammar. But he would always, everything always goes back to that. You know, Pastor Robert, I don't care what we do. I can give $10,000 a day. It means nothing. Unless I am obedient. For obedience is better than any gift, any sacrifice. He constantly reminds me of that for obedience. Does Yahweh take delight in the fat of rams and bullocks and the offering? He tells us obedience is better than anything. He'd rather man, I don't care if a man give $100,000 a day. He'd rather take the one penny like a widow's mite. And she obedient as she was, that a man gives $10,000 a day and think that he's given something. That's what he'd rather have. He said, obey me and do what I said. Quickly to 2 Samuel. I want to move that quickly. As David, his ascension to the king. 2 Samuel, verse 5 and 4. It says, David was 30 years old when he began his reign. Does that give us some kind of correlation with HaMashiach? Does it? Ministry 3 years, over three and a half years, a little over 3 years plus. David was 30 years old when he began the ascension, when he rose to the pinnacle of the king. And he reigned for 40 years is what David reigned. Hallelujah. And Yahweh established His covenant with David in the 7th chapter, verse 4. Yahweh established His covenant is with David. And it came to pass that the night that the word of Yah came to Nathan. You understand that Yah was with him. He established the house of David. He had established him to the pinnacle of his place of authority. And David began to regress from that place of authority that Yah had placed him. And so the word of Yah came at night to Nathan saying, go tell my servant David this. Yahweh, shall you build me a house for me to dwell in? What he was saying to David, will you build a place for the Ark of Covenant that dwelt in tents and skins and all of that? I want a place for the Ark to dwell in. Will you build me a place? These are the words that he asked David according to the words that Nathan spoke unto him. Now, if you read that entire chapter, I want to drop down to verse 15. Every word that Nathan spoke unto David, they were the words of Yah. Do you realize that Yah had given this man power to subdue the kingdoms of the Philistines, the Syrians, the Moabites, and David had destroyed them. Of great successful rule as a valiant warrior. So he knew Yah. He knew that there was times that you must go to battle. And he knew that was a time that you must govern the people of Yah. It says in chapter 18, verse 15. Chapter 8. And David reigned over all Yisrael. That's what he did. Even the elders came to David as they understood the prowess of his power when they submitted. Even the Ephraimites and the Benjaminites, they came unto David. It's in the book. And they submitted unto the authority of David. These pagan bastards today, they will not submit unto anyone. I say it that way. They are pagan bastards. They have no spiritual father. They have the spirit of bastardom. And yet the Ephraimites and the Benjaminites, they came unto David and said, man, we know what you're doing. And we want to be a part of it. We want to submit to you. We know that this authority you have, it has to be of Almighty Yah. And we will submit unto you. And Yah, you will restore the Ark of the Covenant, even in the city of David. Giving power over all the enemies. And the first thing that David did, he reigned over all Israel. And David executed. What it says there, he executed what? He executed Mishpah and Sadiqah, justice, his government to some of the people, to all of his people. He judged them all. We need men of the strength and character. If men are like David and the spirit of David, then they will have the righteous spirit to judge. See, David, he judged the people, but he left off the most important thing of judging. If a man would judge him own self, if he judged him himself, he would have no need of being judged. And when you go away from judging yourself, then woe unto you. And we're very wonderful at that, aren't we? We do a magnificent job, don't we? You can look at yourself, you do a magnificent job. You did an excellent job on that. You just don't know that because that old heart of yours is so corrupt. You're so corrupt. Even your judgment is corrupt. Hallelujah. So he judged the people. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of all of his splendid power, look at what happens. Chapter 11, verse 1. I've preached this many years ago. I've preached it more than one time, just this verse. You that have been with me for many years, you know this. It says this, and it came to pass, when the year was expired, it was over. 2 Samuel 11:1. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings, is that plural? The kings went to battle. When kings go forth to battle, and look what David did. That David sent Joab, he sent Joab, a faithful servant, listen now, and his servants with him. Now, David should have been in battle. And all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. And they besieged, they overthrew Rabbah. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. He laid upon his bed and fed himself with the fatness of his dainties. He filled himself with his own exploits that he began to believe that he had the power to exploit and to do. That's what men think today. That I don't need Nathan or Shambuel to speak to me. I can talk to Yah. And Nathan had prophesied. He had spoken to him of all the things that he should do. You know when it's time to go to battle. Get up off your duff. You know when that's a spiritual battle. Get off your duff and get on your knees. What we do, we get on the plate, don't we? That's what this nation has done to the people. We don't get on our knees, we get in the plate, we eat. Hallelujah. Verse 2, he tarried in Jerusalem, and it came to pass at the evening time that David rose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the floor roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. She was very voluptuous. She had the curvatures, and she was a beautiful olive thing that has the beauty of her hair radiating against the glistening of the sun. And the myrrh and the aloe rose up from her bath. And David began to sense the fragrance of the beauty and the purity of that woman. She was that. She's a symbolicness or the metaphor of an assembly. As Shaul watched David, did he not? So David began to take his eyes off Yah and began to see this. That's what Shatan has done. He is watching what we call the assembly. The whole house, he doesn't care. She was very beautiful. And Yahweh beautified the meek with what? Yahshua, doesn't he? He beautified the meek with salvation. She was a very beautiful woman. How? Because even when David went unto her, she was afraid. She said, you are the king. I can't fight you. What do I do? Whatever you sow, you reap. Verse 11, we know what happened. He went into Bathsheba. She became pregnant. And this spirit of David, this dog spirit, scripture says in chapter 11, verse 6, and David sent Joab, saying, send to me Uriah. I like that name. He's a Hittite. See, Yahweh was his light. That's what Uriah is. Yahweh is my light. He said, you sent to me Uriah. Uriah. You see, the man walked in the light of Yah. He said, and Joab sent Uriah to David. And so David tried to convince him. He said, no, my king. Although I'm drunk, he said, my brothers are intense. They're in the mud. They fight the battle. There is no way that I can come home and enjoy the pleasures of the flagrance of wine. I have to touch the beauty of my Bathsheba because it will cause my heart to be smitten. And I will not want to go to battle. That's why David didn't want to go. He became at ease at Zion. You become so self-righteous, you got everything. You become so at ease. You cannot see the filth that is permeating in you. And men today are that way. Women are that way today as well. So he said for Uriah, the light of Yah being my light. Got him drunk, said, go into her. Knew she was pregnant. He said, no, sir. So what David did with this dog spirit in chapter 11, verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Yoab and sent it by hand of Uriah. What a faithful man. Didn't even read the letter. He could have, though. And he was so strengthened that David said, put him in the midst of the battle. Oh, Uriah knew he had been faithful to his king. There's nothing like faithfulness. Faithfulness are the wounds of a friend. See, it was Uriah's faithfulness that wounded David. He said, it's sealed by the king's signature to Joab. Put Uriah in the midst of the battle. Hallelujah. I want to be the one that Yah can put in the midst of the forefront of the battle. I want to be a Uriah. I want to be an Uriah. That's what I want to be. Yahweh is my light. That's what he was. He said, Yah is my light. Even in the midst of death, Yah shall guide me through the darkness of death. He said, put him in the midst of the battle, in the heated battle. That's what David said. And that's what these dogs will do. They will not take one step to battle. And yet they will put the little sheep out in the midst of the battle. They have no concern for them. That's what a dog, it has no compassion for the sheep. No whatsoever. And he wrote the letter and said, set Uriah in the front in the hottest battle and retire from him, that he may be smitten and die. Maybe Uriah read that. And what he was brought to, and his memory was stirred with what David did. He said he went into the camp of the house of the Philistines, and Yahweh was with him. And David has put confidence in me that he knows that I will fight until the end. He tried to cover his sin. And that's what men try to do today, cover their sins with their own self-righteousness. No, you confess your sin. I will show you when a man is covering his own sins. He's a wicked man because he never sees himself. When he sits down with someone, he's always talking about them or those or the brothers or the sisters. You will know that one is covering their own damnable wicked sins. You will know that. So when a man sits down and says, well, the brothers did this or the brothers, you know that man has no forgiveness. That man has a wicked heart. That woman is corrupt. But when a man sits down and says, oh, Yah, it's me standing in the need. I need help, Yahweh. I sat down with a many wives and husband. When I hear the wife always complaining about the husband, I know it's her. When I hear the husband always complain about the wife, I know it's him. But when I hear the woman sit down and say, you know, Pastor Robert, you know that thing that I do, it's just not right. And I've got those kind of things, and I want to do right. I know what it is then. Yeah. Yahweh is near those with a broken heart. Yeah. And he saves such as of a contrite spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. When you hear what is always muttering and always bringing someone else to the forefront, there's a vile, corrupt spirit in that one. I don't care if it's David Roberts. I don't care if it's Deacon Horn. I don't care if it's Deacon Till. I don't care who the man is. That's just the truth. I don't care if it's Brother Shaw. It makes no difference. So who the person is. Brothers and sisters, that does not negate my responsibility to showing you your sins and your wickedness. That doesn't negate a counselor's ability to tell you, sister, you're wrong. That doesn't negate that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so David, he put him there for the purpose of dying. And then he tried to justify himself. He tried to justify himself. When he fought, you know, our justification comes in Yahshua. And you know how it comes by Emunah. The just, the tzaddikah shall live by faith. And so what the David files tells us, he tried to justify himself. And verse 27 of the same chapter. And when the morning was past, David, when he realized that Uriah was dead, he sent and he fetched her, Bathsheba, unto his home. And she became his wife, and she bared him a son. And the thing that David had done, it pleased Yah. Did Shaul displease Yah? Did Shaul displease Yah? He displeased Yah. Now I want to show you something. These men talk about David, all right. They better talk about HaMashiach. He did all things to please Yah, didn't he? David displeased Yah. That's why if you read Tehillim, those Psalms. And they say there are 5,000 Psalms of David. He mourned and he weep. Read the Psalms. It's all about the difficulties that transpired after the mad sin against Yah. You're not going to take the blood of Hamashiach and trot it under your damnable, corrupt, iniquitous feet. You're not going to do it. And keep making excuses and said, I want. No, you're not going to do it. Yah's not going to allow it. And so he tried to justify himself. And that's what men do, try to justify themselves against brothers. Or women against sisters. Well, I'm not like the brother. You know what brother so and brother this. You know what, that's a vile man. That's the spirit of Nabal. You don't justify a dog like that. You reject a swine like that. And I reject every last one of them. So don't come here thinking you're going to tell me nothing, man. And don't think your Jezebel wife, any Jezebel wife's coming here to set anything in order. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Don't come selling your ass here. No, I say you the truth. Buy the truth then. And don't sell it. Hallelujah. I say you what the scripture says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So David tries to justify himself. But what David had done, it anath. I want to tell you, it caused the anger. And this is the only place whereby this word anath, anath is used. It is the anger. It expressed solely the anger of Yah, where his nostrils flare and the heat of his anger. Now that's the anger that David brought upon Yah. Anath. The only place, anath, whereby that anger it is associated with Yah. And he are not, and Yah, he displeased Yah. He brought this anger upon Yah that Yah had to breathe. You know, parents, when a child does something, you got to breathe hard. You know that there's something there. And that's what he calls Yah to do. He displeased Yah. And so what Yah does, he sends the Nabi. He tells him, you go see David, Nathan. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Shemuel. Yahweh sent Nathan the giver. That's what Nathan is, the giver. He gives what Yahweh gives him. He sent him to David. And he came to him and he said, there were two men in one city and one was rich and one was poor. You all know the analogy of that story. He gave him a parable of what thing had transpired with David. Hallelujah. You can speak parables about those and what things have transpired here with us, with those that even though that they were rich in their own arrogance and their own pride, they became poor. They have not the emunah of Yahweh, and they're far behind the eight ball as well. And so this man, this Nabi, said to him, he told him this parable, and the same anger that David represented is the anger of Yah. And the scripture says in verse 5 of chapter 12, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Now that is how the anger of Yahweh was kindled against David. This is a metaphor. This is the true spirit of Yah. And he said to Nathan, as Yahweh lived, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. The prophecy of truth. He shall surely die. And Nathan said, hallelujah, in verse 7, and Nathan said to David, you are the man. And he said, thus or this saith Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. Did he anoint Shaul king too? Did Shaul displease him? Did he turn him over unto a witchcraft spirit? Did he turn him over away and away from the truth because he displeased him? This generation doesn't think that the same Yah is doing the same thing today. He said, I delivered you out of the hand of Shaul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and your Judah. And look at what Yah says. And if that had not been too little, if that was too little for you, David, I would have moreover given you to you as such, whatever you wanted, I would have done it. That's how much I love you, man. That's how much I cared for you. And you didn't think that was so vile and so abominable and so wicked that you call the heathens to blaspheme the name of Yah. And these fools don't realize. Let me say this. There are folks that have left the covenant of Yah. And they call fools to blaspheme Yahweh. And say they had. Not all them old religious folks. They full of hell. They don't have anything. They don't know God. They cost the heathens to blaspheme Yah. Yah said, if that had been too little for you, I'd have gave you more than Jerusalem. You more than Israel. I'd have gave you the kingdoms of the kingdoms, David. You were my elect, the chosen of my eye. You were the apple of my eye. I'd have given you whatever it took, David. He says in verse 9, Wherefore, you have despised the commandment of Yahweh. Oh, Yah will not do that. That's what these dogs will say. The Yahweh said he did. The Yahweh said he despised the commandment. And Yahweh said, you have despised the commandment that I gave you. To do evil in his sight. He did evil in the sight of Yah. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. And has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. You used the wicked to destroy my light. Uriah was a light. He was faithful. He was committed. He was given unto you to serve you, and he did it faithfully. There are men today, they want to be great, but they don't know how to serve. They take serving with their damned of a mouth and their much words. That's not serving. Uriah didn't say much. He was just in great awe and pleasure that Yah would make him a light unto the king, that he will be a light barrier unto the king. It should be a profound thing in our lives that we are light barriers unto Yah. As Deacon Horn spoke to us last year, Brother Patrick said that we are cities that sit upon a hill. We have the light of Habashiah in us, and the light cannot be hid. And that's the power of a Uriah. Not these dogs today. They will not battle. They'll battle against you. They will not battle for you. They battle against you. He said, now therefore I want to tell you something. The sword shall never part out of your house. You want to be like David, huh? I want to be like Yahshua. He tell us to consider Habashiah. He didn't tell us to consider David. He said, consider Hamashiach, lest we become weary and we faint in our mind. Consider Hamashiach, the man who suffers such contradiction and such onslaughts of the sinners, lest we become weary and faint in our mind. So folks say, look at David. No, I look at Hamashiach. I'm not becoming weary. I'm not going to faint. He said to Uriah, let me read that again in verse 10. I want to read it carefully and slow. Yes, I will, Tola. Now therefore the sword shall never depart out of your house. Because you have despised me. No man will say he despised Yahweh. Did he send a Nabi to tell him what to do? And yet he despised him, didn't he? He said, because you have despised me, and you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite, to be your wife. He said, I want to say this commandingly. This says not Nathan, but this says Yahweh. I want you to see, behold, I will raise up good. I will raise up wrath. Yahshua will raise up evil against you out of your own house. I'm going to cause evil to come out of your own house. This wicked generation, your evil is coming out of your own house. Your own spiritual house. Your own body, your own bayat. But Yahshua, I'm going to cause evil to come out of your own house. The scripture tells us that a man's foes in this day shall be of his own house. Habashiach declares that to us. Your own enemies will be of your own house. He said, I'm going to raise up foes out of your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes, and he did. I will give them to your neighbors, and he shall lie with your wife in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly. You did the sin secretly. I watch men here that live here plot secretly. And Yahweh said, but I will do this thing before all Jerusalem and before the sun. The sun's going to shine on your wickedness. Yeah. You did it secretly. Men and women love to do things secretly, don't they? He said, that's all right. The sun is going to shine. You did it secretly, but it's going to be hell from the housetop. You don't want nobody to know, but it's going to be known. I'm going to let it be known. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. You did it in secret, but it's going to be hell from the housetop. You did it under the cover of your little cloak of your bedroom, but it's going to be hell from the housetop. He said, you did a wicked thing. You did that which was vile. He says in verse 13, for David said to Nathan, I have sinned not against Israel, but against Yah. I've sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said to David, Yahweh also has put away your sin. That sin. He has put away that sin. You hear me now? You shall not die. I'm going to let you live, David. But death is going to reign in your home. You're going to live. but your house is going to die. Howbeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh. See, they're enemies of Yahweh. When you sin like that, you give great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme, to spawn, to despise, to abhor the name of Yah. And the child that is born to you shall surely die. Did it die? It died. That was the beginning of death in the house of David because of his sin. You watch men today that defy Yahweh, you watch death in them. You began to see the death in them. You began to see the death of their words and their counsels, their actions, their deeds. Hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah. You despise Yah, you disobey Yah, you disobey the authority of Yah, the powers that be ordained of Yahweh. And when a man does that which is right, he doesn't have to be terrified by the power. All authority upon the earth is established by Yahweh. The heart of the king is in the hand of Yah. He raises up the kings. He anoints them to be king. Whether they're wicked or tov, Yahweh does it. He said, the child is going to die because you've given man occasion to blaspheme against me. I want to close with some scriptures with the events that happened in David's house. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. Hear this, brothers and sisters. Hear what Yah says. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, that is my avad is Shalom, my father's peace. Absalom, the son of David, he had a fair sister. She was precious, beautiful sister, whose name was Tamar. She was the palm tree. She was the strong one. Her name was Tamar. And Amnon, which means faithful, the oldest of David's children, the son of David, he loved her. He had an infatuation with her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick in his sister's Tamar. He fell sick for his sister. Such a loss. You see, David, he created that lust in his house. He brought it in. He damned up a wicked Naboth. They bring that crazy mess in their homes. He cursed them down to the seventh generation. Don't think Yahweh has changed. So he fell sick for his sister. For she was a virgin. She was pure. She was clean. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything but her. He couldn't even sleep. He couldn't even stay awake. Because he wanted her. So he concocted a scheme to get her to come and bring him something to eat. Some food. And what happened? And that's the same thing that happened with young girls that they virgins, that these dogs. I want to show you the same thing that he did to her. These dogs, they do girls like this today. They have no strength to recoil because they're stronger than them. There are many girls today that have babies out of wedlock the very first time because some dog overpowered them. Hallelujah. Only one time. There are many girls that have been caught under that. Hallelujah. Chapter 13, verse 11. And when she had brought them to him to eat, she had brought him something, he grabbed her and said to her, come and sleep with me, lie with me, my sister. And she answered and said, no, my brother, do not force me. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. It is immoral. It is wicked. It is profane. The actions are despicable unto Yah. She said, brother, please don't do that. Don't do this. Verse 14, how will be? He will not listen to her voice. Being stronger than she, he forced her to lie with her. He raped her. Do you all hear that? He raped her. Verse 15, and look what the dog did. This is what boys do today to girls. They do the same thing. And then they despise them afterwards. And Amnon hated her exceedingly. She was a virgin. Her mind was pure. She didn't have the thoughts of what some kind of improprieties would be before she was engaged into that. She didn't have the dog nature of a female dog. She was pure. She didn't have that. He hated her because she could not carry out his fantasized, corrupt perversion. That's what these boys, they hate them. That's why they call them what you call a female dog today. They hate them. Because they don't respond the way he thought she should. So that his hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Rise, get out of my face, you Jezebel. Get away from me, you dog. Now this is thy wheat now. This is the file of David. What he opened up. And there are men that have opened up such chaos in their home because of their wickedness. The defiance of Yahweh, their rebelliousness. Verse 20 of the same chapter. And Absalom, her brother said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But hold not your shalom. Tell me, my sister. He is your brother. Regard, do not allow this thing to stay in you. Regard not this thing." So Tamar, she remained desolate at her brother's Absalom's house. He raped his sister. This is the beginning. Did not David do that? He brought the curse in his home. Verse 21. But when the king heard all these things, he was very angry, but he did not straight out Amnon. Don't you know that Absalom was, he came against his daddy. He rose up. Yes, sir. Yah caused him to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made him do that. Rose up against him. He had to flee. He had to run. But yet David would not even straighten out his own son. That's the way there's wickedness today. Your wicked daughters and sons. You don't want to say anything to them. You don't even want Yah to say anything to them. You can't even straighten them out. That's why they're fruity and crazy as hell today. So he let this dog go on. But Absalom said, "Nah, the death Ruah was in that house. Yah put it there." And Absalom, he spoke to his brother Amnon neither tov or evil. But he hated him. Because he had forced his sister Tamar, he had raped her. He hated her. And I hate all of those that turned. David said, "I hate them all that turned back with a perfect hatred." He said, "Search me, try me, and see if there be any wicked thing in me." I hate all them, Yah, that turned back against Yah. And men think that you just go to bosom up to them when they turn against Yah and turn against the standards of Yah. Like hell will I. I'm saying to every man, no, I will not judge my brother because of what some man has done. I will not judge my brother because of what Brother Randy has done to me. I will not judge a brother that way. I will judge Brother Randy as to what he has done to me. I will not mind judging if he's sliding against Brother Jason because of my reaction toward Brother Allen. I will deal with Brother Jason the way that Brother Jason deals with me. I will not my judgment against Brother Yosef be based upon what Brother Patrick has done to me. I will be based upon what Brother Yosef has done to me. So he hated his brother Amnon. He despised him. The man raped his sister. He reduced her down to nothing. She was not getting the husband. She could not be sold. She could not be betrothed. There was a seal of every marriage, not to live vowed, but when he went in that and the blood. That's why when Hamashiach met the woman, he said, "You got five, and the one you got ain't even yours now." Every time a man goes to the woman that has been his wife, that's right. Every woman that has had a different man, she has had a husband. That's just it. Period. Period. Don't need no vows. That's just the pure law of Yah. That's just it. That's it. That's it. It's not the vows. But he raped her. He raped her. And the scripture tells you when a man rapes a woman, now he should have died. She cried out. She was in his house. Oh, when they cry out, it doesn't mean that you can hear their voice from here to Jefferson. But she cries out. She cried out to Absalom. She didn't even know how to say it. He said, "Don't regard it." She didn't know how to express it. But the dog should have died. He should have been removed. But that we justify. Well, that's my son. Parents do that today, don't they? That's my son. That's my daughter. She's a Jezebel. She's a fruit head. She's a stupid, immature thing. He's a fool. So he justified the dog. He did not deal with him the way Yah intended, like Torah told him to deal with the man. Now, he should have died. And any man that rapes a daughter, he should die and give a these dogs today. And what we call in the preaching profession in this Christendom, this damnable tradition, they're raping them like dogs every day. This Earl poking all these dogs of hell. That's what they're doing. There are men that have done what Earl Polk has done. There are black preachers that have done that, and they're in prison with life. He walks around free of it. There are men that have done what this damnable dog R.G. still a child of hell, and they're in prison for life just touching a gal. That man down there in Texas, he was sleeping with those gals, and some of the women wanted him because of his power, his place. And the man gets 15 years in prison because of his skin color, and these dogs, these white preachers walk around, they rape, they take advantage, and they'll get one damn day. You can say what you want to, hypocrites. I read more than you folks read. I look at things in a greater, in a different light than you. And I hear it all the time. The old deacon down here, the little children say, touch them with gas. And the man gets 50 years right here in South Carolina. A damn dog like Archie's can rape daughters and pervert them. Try to pervert them, this damn dog. And he walks free, a dog of child of hell. The dog shall eat his bones. I hope he can hear this. The dog shall eat that child of hell's bones. Yeah, he had a man of brevity. Brave enough to withstand the dog. And tell him what he was. And tell him, dog, you will have to come through me. If you ever touch any child of yours, I will kill you. I meant that too. The other cowards were afraid. I don't need no honor for it. But I'm set for a defense of that which is right. Get behind me, children. Don't worry about it. Let me die first. If I die, you're going to get Deacon Horn all of them straight. Oh, brother, they'll come behind me. Come on, don't worry about that. Brother, the other brothers, come on, don't worry about it. They'll die. Hallelujah. The captain doesn't send the troops out and let them get all shot up, boom, 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 boom. And he sit back drinking coffee and say, oh, what happened? Oh, that's nice. Come on, boys. And he goes out first. He goes out. He's leading the charge. If he's on the charge, he's in the middle of the pack because he's got the flank. And he's got the front and he's got the rear. He's watching for everyone, the captain and the lieutenant. They don't sit back at the office drinking coffee. You got the generals and things to do that. They plan the war to put the young men in battle. Hallelujah. So David did a thing, and the same thing that these dogs do, the spirit is in their homes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he raped his sister. And he hated her. David, the coward he was, because he had lost the resolve of Yah. He had lost that. It says in the 28th chapter, same 28th verse of the same chapter. Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark you now, when Amnon's left is merry, when he's full of wine. And when I say to you, you kill him, you kill him. Then you kill him. He said, don't even fear, fear not. Have not I commanded you? Look at that servant. He was commanded and he obeyed. He said, be courageous and be valiant. Kill him dead. And the servant of Absalom did as Amnon did. Was that a wicked judgment of Absalom? Was that a wicked judgment? Was that a wicked judgment? You can't answer that. It was a Torah judgment. He should have died. He said, you kill him dead and you smite him. Don't be afraid. And then all of the king's sons arose and every man got him upon his mule and they fled. When the servant did that, they all fled. Why? Because they knew it was the judgment of Yah in the house. Yahweh said, death shall never depart of your house. That's why in Tehillim, David cries about his enemies, the gates of hell. David went through a tremendous, tremendous magnitude in life. He suffered greatly. When they tried to revive him with a young, tender virgin, he still couldn't revive him. Couldn't put heat in his body. Hallelujah. But it's one thing the fire of Yah will do. Jeremiah says, it's like fire in my bones. Shut up. Hallelujah. These men have not the fire of Yah. I don't care how loud they talk. That doesn't mean the fire of Yah because I'm talking loud. The fire of Yah means that this is penetrating your damnable wicked heart. Hallelujah. I want to be like Yahshua. Hallelujah. I don't want to be like David. Hallelujah. He goes on to say here, in verse 29, and the servant of Absalom did to Amnon, and Absalom had commanded, then all the king's son rose, and every man got up on his mule, and they fled. Verse 30, and it came to pass while they were in the way, the tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain the king's son, and there was not one left. Now look at Yah. Yah said, death is not going to leave your house. The same thing David said when one man left pissing against the wall. Yah said, I got something for you, David. Chapter 18, verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under a thick bark. Ain't that some thick tree limb? A fork in a tree. Of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the Shemaims and the Olam. And the mule that was under him went away. And when that was told to David, died, he wept and he mourned for Absalom. Did Yah mean what he said when he said, death will not depart from your house? Did death depart from his house? It did not. The fowls of David, men want to compare themselves with David, but David weeped and he paid tremendously for his sins and his displeasure unto Yah. The only thing between him and Shaul, Yah did not kill him. He let him live. He let David live. He removed himself from Shaul, period. He let David live to write and to tell us, man, don't defy Yah. When the Nabi of Yah speaks to you, obey it. When the man of Yah speaks to you, obey it. When he tells you it is of Yah, when he preaches out of the Torah, the book, you obey it. You adhere to what he says and receive it. That's what David tells us in Tehillim. That's what he warns us against. His enemies came against him. Why? Because he came against Yahweh, and Yahweh opened up the floodgates upon him. When even the prophecy came out of Abigail's mouth that your enemies shall be just like Nabal, David became just like Nabal with his enemies. Because he defied, he displeased Yahweh. Yahweh said, even when a man's ways please Yahweh, when a man's ways please Yah, when a man does the thing to please Yah, he will even make his enemies to be at shalom with that man. When a man does right before Yah, even his enemies will be at shalom. His enemies will not come against him. And all of David's hell broke loose because he defied the standards of Yah. These dogs that say they're like David, they don't even come through his, they don't even come through his bush. Yah is not even with these dogs. Never been with them. I want to be like HaMashiach. For the blood is sufficient. Yahshua's blood. Next time I preach the files of the she out of David, Yahshua's files. David files don't look well. The file of David doesn't look well. The file of David is a mess. Hallelujah. Yeah, it shows Yah's forgiveness. But it shows Yah say, you ain't gonna mock me, man. I gave you everything and you think you're gonna mock me. Yah said, not in this realm you're gonna do it. You think you're gonna mock Yahweh? You're a fool if you think you're going to mock him. You think you're going to do your own little thing and you're going to mock Yah. Yah say, yeah, I forgive you. And I clean you, but you're going to pay. You're still going to pay. And these men were about David. Now you're going to pay, man. You're a fool. You think you sold something. You're not going to rip. You're a jackass of a fool. You're not even a fool. You're going to, everything you've done is coming back to you. The roost is coming home the roost, honey. It's coming back. The roost is going to come home and roost right just where he always roosts at. He'll come up and he's going to cock his crow and he's going to make his son, he's going to wake you up. That your time is now and you're going to pay for everything. Don't think you're getting by, mad woman. You're not getting by. Let your religious corrupt mind make you think you're getting by, but you're not getting by. David did not get by with anything. That's why there was great mourning and crying and great travailing with David. He did not get by. And Yah's mercies are still renewed. His mercy is still renewed. He just shows you the power of his hand, what he did with David, what he could have done. And he shows you the power of a man, what he it prevents him from doing, what he will not do. Once a man remove himself from his covenant. He had a covenant with David, and all hell broke loose. There were only one or two kings in the whole reign that ruled with any kind of balance of truth. All of them were wicked. Every last one of them, every king, they were vile, they were corrupt. Death never passed out of his house. Wars and wars. Until the resurrection of HaMashiach. And so in true Yisrael, we have life. And that life is in HaMashiach. May Yah bless you. May He strengthen you. I wanted to preach this today. I didn't want to teach it. I just didn't preach it the way I wanted to. Yeah, I wanted to get vociferous. I wanted to get loud. I don't care about getting loud. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care about your penny and juvenile emotions at all. I don't care about that one bit. I don't care how you're juvenile. That's why you feel that way. Hallelujah. Even though Sherry, I guess, upset with me. She doesn't want to give me a kiss. She doesn't want to hug me. Hallelujah. You think that stopped me from giving her a kiss? She can't stop me. So I don't care about your little juvenile emotions, your little childlike petty ways. I don't care about that. You go to hell with that. That's where you're going anyway. So the David files open. You go back and study them. Hallelujah. You go back and find yourself in the David files. You said all you want to, you're not going to correct me in anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you find something that you thought I misappropriated because you misappropriated it. Because it dealt with your sins. The David files. Hallelujah. We bless you all that are listening. May Yahweh bless you today. May the files of David, wonderful, nice crowd today. May the files of David be opened up unto you today. Hallelujah. I want to be like Yahshua. He is my example. He is my kinsman redeemer. May Yah bless you all. May encourage you all. You that are here, you that are listening, live stream, radio, or wherever you're listening, may Yahweh bless you. May strengthen your love that you continue in the path of righteousness. I will be you that are listening in the Texas area, and there are quite a few of you all that come to the website in the Austin, Dallas, Houston area around Emory, Texas. We're going to be there not this weekend, but the following weekend. There will be a group of us there with Pastor Robinson at the tabernacle there. It's all on our website. You look at that. We're going to be there for a few days in service. I will be speaking that Friday morning. I don't know what may transpire after that. I'm really not going to speak to strengthen the brother's hands. He's a very sweet man. I like his ru'ah. So you all that in that area, come on out and be with us. We're going to bring some of our young people and Sister Roberts and some of our people. We're going to sing and have a wonderful time there with Pastor Robinson. So you all come out and be with us there in that gathering. Go to the website. It's all there. You are there already. So just look at the dates. And come and be with Pastor Robertson. He's a very sweet man. May Yah bless you all. Very kind spirit he has. I enjoyed talking with him. He called me the other night. Just a very sweet man. They started a community there in 1985 and never panned out. But he said to me the other night, he called me and said, Pastor Roberts, we must go back to the Bereshit. We must. And that's how Yahweh intended it to be. We'll become so bogged down in this theme of the world that there's no concern for Yahweh. We don't even care what he speaks. That's why folks can't, you know, it's amazing. You can live with the world. You can be so kind to them, but you can't even live with brothers and sisters. You don't want to be around them. You can treat the world differently. You can try to prove to the world that you're Southern because you're a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite is always trying to do. Prove what they are. Yeah, that's right. That's what a hypocrite is always trying to do, trying to prove. Now we prove the things that are pure and right before Yahweh. And we get a witness among ourselves whether we're doing this right. The world cannot give you a true barometer of how wicked you are. Because the world's not going to do that. That's why you take great delight and comfort with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why this world likes to be separated from that. The spirit there brings about a true judgment upon them. Now I want to be around the brothers. I love being around them. I want them to judge me. I don't want to act foolish. I don't want to act with folly. I don't want to act stupid that my brothers, they think that I'm some kind of a toy, that brother Josh Horton is going to dishonor me. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to carry on him that way. But he deals with Pastor Robert, he dealing with a man. And I know I'm dealing with a man. And he's going to honor me that way. Scripture tells you, you're all men. And I'm not going to have this kind of folly reaction with my young brother that when he comes to me, it's about folly. I want him to be a studious and sharp in his mind and sober. We were in the gym all the night. We talked. We did more than we did anything. And as I began to talk and preach, he went over there and he turned. He said, "Nah, I need to hear that. Turn the radio down. I don't need to hear what the radio got to say. I need to hear what the man of Yah has to say." Yeah. It wasn't what his input was. He's a young man. There's not too much input he can give me on that. And yet his input is very valuable. Why? Because he gave me a witness of what even the world says about him. A young man makes more money than an engineer makes. Why? Not because he's smarter than an engineer has education. Because I said to him, because he submitted and he's been obedient unto Yah. Hallelujah. Don't take no education. It takes submissiveness and obedience. He has never rebelled against me. Don't fight against me. These fools today, he makes more money than an engineer makes. He makes more money than some people with master's degrees. That's the truth. Hallelujah. We got the little docile spirit. It's nothing arrogant, not proud. Huh? Oh, I have to slap his head a time before in the basketball court. Pam, pam. And he'll come weeping. Hallelujah. No. We play basketball just to sweat. That's it. He can beat me every game. I'm going to try to beat him every game. No problem with that. As long as he walks out of there, he's wet like me, I'm all right. And believe me, if he goes out that way, he'll be sweating like me. And he may have to do this too. That's all that matters. You're not going to let a foolish game of folly create some folly. No, I'm not going to do that. He does that because he's submissive and obedient. And the word of God has always corrected him. Can I say you something, wife? You got a man. Can I say to your wife? Submit to your man. Obey what the man says. Love him. Honor him. Reverence him. I say to you, man, love your wife. Make sure your house is set in order. Hallelujah. Well, he'd have made that if he had to come in. No, sir, he wouldn't have been where he's at. He's there because he understands. He knows how to submit to all men. Makes no difference. You submit. Submit to those that are in authority. That's how you do it. Even the world sees that. So the world rewards. Look at that article again. 2% of the world's population owns over 50% of the wealth. I say, man, I'm going to have to do a newsletter on that. May Yahweh bless you. Come on, Brother Patrick. Be encouraged. I am. I'm very much encouraged. And I'm strong today, too. Hallelujah. Feel strong in the inward parts. Don't take nothing back. I don't care if the white boy, the black boy, it makes no difference who's offended. It doesn't make me any difference. I speak the truth of Yah. How do you know it's the truth? Because it deals with you. Sticks and thongs may hurt my bone, but talk will never hurt. Hey, truth hurts us. That's what troubles us more than anything, truth. If someone tells you the truth about yourself, you always want to find somebody to say, well, you're not that way. Why not just say truth? That's what he said, this bread's not meant for the dogs.
That's right.
She said, you're a liar. I'm not that. Did she say that?
No.
She said truth.
Yes.
Truth.
That's what she said.
Truth. This is a generation that's a dog, because a true dog will not even realize. She said, true, yeah.
That's right.
It's a swine generation.
Yeah.
She said truth.
Yeah.
Even the dogs is out of crown.
That's, right.
That's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm a mess.
Yeah.
We won't even try to paint our lives up like what we've done. I know this young man's life has never been like my life, and that's a blessing.
Yes.
I'm glad of that.
Yes.
I am so glad of that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm glad that he never touched the things I touched.
Yes.
I'm glad of that, son.
Yes.
I bless you.
Yes.
And I have enough wisdom and understanding to teach you and to tell you.
Yes.
Those things you can't teach me. But I can teach you, son. You can teach from the book that will bless me with those things, experiences. I can. I don't want him to touch that. That's why I want his wife here. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's right. He can be like Thomas. Never touch a woman. That's all right, son. That's all right. That's so beautiful. Never call it one. Until it's sealed before Yah, the Son, and the host of the Shema. I'm going to cry that day. Yeah, I am. Sure I am. I'm going to weep much. Sing too. All right. May God bless you all. Yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sing that day. I'm going to weep much. Not losing the son. See, he's going to that point where he's going to maturate into this husband man. Well, he's less than you know. He's my equal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a man. David said, it's not going to be one man that pisses against the wall. It's not going to be one that pisses against the wall. You understand? A woman sits down. A man walks to the wall. He pisses against the wall, all right? He says, not one. So he does the same thing that I do, all right? You hypocrites, it says it in the book, all right? You can dress it up any way you want to. That's what it says, all right? You can say urinate all you want. It said piss. Okay? This juvenile nation. Well, you curse. Okay, I curse then. That's what the book said. He pissed then. The book cursed. There's not going to be one man left. No, David said, I'm glad that you came. Your pure thing. Man. That's all right. Y'all leave it in your hand. Boy, his mind will not even leave Abigail. Y'all say, that's all right. I got him. Man has committed an atrocity. I'm going to bring him down. I'm going to 10 days. Let him drink and sit there. Just, he looked like a fool. 10 days just staring. And all of a sudden, David said, she's mine now. Now, that was legal what he did. That was right. That Yahweh would have gave him her anyway.
Right.
He had it there for him.
Right.
What did he hear her advice?
Yes, sir.
Did she talk to him?
Yes, sir.
Don't ever have a wife you can't hear what she say, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yah bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. We're going to sing this song. Yes.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our lives. May now your
Wherever you're listening, watch your mighty name. May the strength of God rest upon you. You're there in Texas, Brother James, we rock you. Brother Michael, Sister Michael, Lord, wherever you are. The Adam family, if you all are joined with us, then Charlotte, may God speak to you. All of our listeners, Pastor Person, you and your wife, bless you all. Children. Hallelujah. Brother Landis, you and your mother, she's there today. Shalom to your home there in Maryland there. May Yah rich you all today, your wife, your children, your daughters. May He strengthen you all, our friends. Brother Jerry, Sister Maria, maybe your last Shabbat, but may Yah speak and rest upon you both as you travel the country.
Give us a friend.
Brother David Manning.
Understanding. A brother dear heart that is real. So let there be a heart shed among us. Let there be love.
Come on, grab your neighbor's hand. Look in their eyes.
So let there be a heart shed among us. Let there be a heart in our lives. Be now your heart, sweetest heart. Cause us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us the faith, understanding a brother. That is real. So let there be a hava shed among us. Let there be a hava.
Ah, one more time, come on.
So let there be a hava shed among us. Let there be a hava. To arise, give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be a love shared among us. Let there be a love.
Ah, yes. For you're wonderful, Almighty Yahweh, Barak you. I want to say to you that are listening and you that are here today, Yah bless you all. I'm going to begin a message, a teaching, a preaching. And I believe that as Yahweh led me in this direction, it shall be very profound. I shall take my time. It will be titled, "And the Fourth Beast Rises Out of the Earth, and Her Kingdom is Established." So in the weeks to come, you that are listening, prepare your love for this truth. And we will go line from line and precept scripture. And we will lay the foundation of this kingdom and the beast, the power, and the strength of the rule of this kingdom in the weeks to come. May Yah bless you all today. In all things in Yahshua's mighty name, we are enriched today, Yah, to be called sons. Bless your people, I pray. So help us all, I pray. Toda Yah, for faithful men. Bless you for all these brothers here that have stood by me, Yah, all the years. My tears weep for my lambs. Even though the trials have been upon them, have stood faithful. I bless you for each of them. Sometimes I may not call their name. Men like Brother Sean, Brother Kevin, Brother Charles Bradsfield, Brother Joseph, all of them, yeah. Deacon Horn, Brother Dorfus, Deacon Penny, Elder Marsalis, Brother Eldon Horn, all these brothers, young, their faithfulness. They have bared my weaknesses. And it seemed as though that many had turned against me, they stayed by me. Elder Martin, a faithful old warrior, Brother David Lee, even in his battles. But these brothers have been faithful. Young men like Brother Patrick and Brother Randy Horn, I just bless you for them, yeah. Brother Josh Martin, every one of them, yeah, they have been faithful in the battle. They have watched your hand. They have seen your work here. They have beheld the vision. And they have not been weary in the well-doing. Brother Dale in his battles, yet he has stayed the course. And I bless you for these men of strength. As you have matured young men like Brother Jason, Brother Nicholas, brought Brother Richard along, and Brother Allen in his tremendous faithfulness, yeah, even in the midst of his wife walking out, yeah. He has been a tremendous blessing, a strength, a brother, a friend, a laborer, a servant. I bless you for my friends, yeah. They have stood the test. My love weeps. I mean it, Yahweh. I mean it, God. The faithfulness of the daughters. Those that have been consistent and persistent, Yahweh. I bless you for that. Help us all. Strengthen us all. We may walk faithfully before you. We ask it in Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh, God bless you all. Ah, yes.